A guy who's never confused is Jason Kantz. On the other end of the phone, that's not true. You're confused sometimes.
I'm confused a lot. Yes, absolutely. Good morning.
Good morning. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I was able to have breakfast with you on Saturday, which is always a good thing. It was, a really good weekend. Nothing real exciting happening. My daughter Tessa wanted to go to Hy-Vee again, so of course we ended up at Hy-Vee.
Did she eat there again?
For some reason, that's nope. She wanted bread, but for some reason she really likes Hy-Vee, so we end up going there quite a bit. And
so let me suggest, she likes nice things.
She does. She does. She. As we would say in our house, she likes shiny things.
Uh-huh.
But so we were able to do that, and I was able actually to go to the mall with all three of my children at the same time on Saturday, which was, I cannot remember ever having done that, and we seemed to actually enjoy one another. So
that is good. That is good. Something that I got to date my wife not once but twice, a fish fry Friday night at 4 Mile Restaurant, and then yesterday, the Josh Wilson concert, which was in Cumberland. And some might have felt like, oh, that's a long way to go for a concert. But again, you know, it's just you and your spouse in the car, and so you're forced to talk. And that's good, because otherwise, it's, and it took till almost we were close to home and to get to that deeper level, you know? And so dating is important,
mm-hmm.
Even after you've been married 23 years, so. But
I think one of the things Heather and I...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things Heather and I have discovered is that in the pandemic, we have kind of moved away from that habit and probably need to get back into it again, so...
Yeah, you guys had a pretty good, it seemed like, habit of dating. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was weekly. We were very consistent about doing so, and... and again, just kind of drifted away from that. And
you know what we found?
I mean,
in the past,
we like each other. And
in the past, we found like if our kids were in Awana or something, then when you took them there, then that, you know, practically,
right.
There was dating time available. And so we'd gotten away from it. But hey, but we had this family Bible study for the third straight week. Hats off to my wife for really spearheading, making this thing happen. I mean, like we had 6 of the 7 members of our family. Michael was working. And we were on 1 John 2:9-17. But for at least the second straight week, you made an appearance through Letters to the Beloved. Because so when we were wrestling with a pretty well-known passage, verses 15 through 17, I'm like, wonder what our friend Jason said in Letters to the Beloved. And so you got good reaction. So I wonder if... do you have the book nearby? If I read the passage, can you share what you did?
I do.
All right.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. So
yeah,
here,
right in front of me.
Here's what it says in New Living. Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only the lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything we see, and pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father. They are from this evil world. And this world is fading away along with everything it craves. But if you do the will of God, you will live forever. Now, let me just say before you read Letters to the Beloved. Yeah, that's not a tradition. I mean, it's New Living, so it's a more contemporary version. But
typically,
do not love this world or anything in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. All right, what about Letters to the Beloved?
Yeah, so how I rendered that was, you will face daily temptations to seek power, possessions, and position. But that is not the way of love. My manner of life, demonstrated fully by my son, is the path of downward mobility. Love serves, shows compassion, and cares deeply for others. There are so many things in the world that are not from me. Lusts, desires, pride, and greed. Seeking these things is to chase after death. Following my son is to pursue eternal life.
And again, when people hear, that's good. I got to say, I mean, people react, particularly Dawson. There seems to be a good resonance there between... we were kind of saying Jason's the unofficial 8th member of our family Bible study appearing via Letters to the Beloved. But people should understand that that's not, I knew that would touch you, but that the fact we're opening up Letters to the Beloved is right there in the discussion supplementing. But people should understand, it's not like that's, you're not saying this is a different translation of the Bible. Explain again as we wrap up what that is that you did.
Yeah, so probably the best way to describe it is that it's a devotional commentary. And so it's a way of trying to understand what is it that God is communicating in a rich way. And for me, it was kind of walking through each of these passages and listening for what God might be saying. And so, again, I'm pretty clear in the introduction that it is not a translation. It's not a paraphrase. And so it's a hopefully devotionally leads us closer to God.
But again, Bible reading, Bible study is how you get closer. And so it can be, as we're demonstrating, it's a helpful supplement as you grapple together. And again, if people want to get one for themselves or as a gift for Christmas, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can find it on Amazon.com. Just search Letters to the Beloved. It's a giant yellow book. Or they can connect with me through social media, my blog at jasoncans.com. Love to hear from anybody in whatever they would want to get in touch.
Very good. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Well, the Detroit Lions played to a 16-16 tie yesterday with the Pittsburgh Steelers in overtime. Scintillating, no question. And our buddy Drew Freilich, before we get him on the air, we were able, through the powers of modern technology and spying, able to capture some audio of him singing in the shower this morning.
I am the champion. I am the champion. No time for losers, because I am the champion of the world.
Drew, really celebrating that tie, huh?
Oh, that's so, Mark. That's so mean. Oh, you got me. No, I love it. Yeah, no, you got to admit, wasn't it fun? I don't know if you watched it yesterday, but it was just like, it's no pressure fun. It's just like they should play circus music, you know, instead of the Fox Sunday NFL theme. Just play. When the Lions come out, I mean, it's ridiculous. It was a lot of fun.
So
tie, baby steps. Know what I mean? We're heading in the right direction.
The old adage about a tie is that it's like kissing your sister. This is years back, that saying. Okay, so anyhow, but the fact of the matter, I don't know if that's still okay to say that, but anyhow, the fact of the matter is that a tie, so no Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, what is the mood in Lions land this morning?
I think we're going to find out. I talked to a few family members, and we were just laughing. You know, it wasn't like, it's just nobody cares at this point, but it's just kind of good fun.
Yeah.
So,
but now, you are getting closer to the Thanksgiving game, which still is a big deal. It's a huge tradition in Detroit, right? I mean, they were the first ones to do this, and then Dallas. And each and every year, it's the early game on Thanksgiving, and I heard a overnight host on network sports radio this morning saying the Lions are going to win a game.
Yeah, it'll have to be that one, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
It's good fun. It's good fun.
Besides counselor and comedian, apparently a new title going with your name now these days.
Yeah, so last, we're going through a transition at church. Our lead pastor is moving on to something else, and so... I've been hired as interim pastor for the next, several weeks to months. It's not clear, but I'm just trying to add as many titles to my name for your radio show as I can possibly get on there, you know.
Huh. All right, so three bits of advice for you from it's weird, because you and I share the same birthday, the best day to have a birthday, June 12th.
Absolutely.
You're 20 years my junior. I, too, was for 4 months an interim pastor at age 37. Isn't that weird? That's your age
exactly
now.
Exactly the same. The universe is weird, yeah.
And so here's the deal. Dan Maxton was kind of a coach or tutor or mentor to me in that regard. Two bits of advice he said. One is he said, in terms of the sermon, he said 80% of what you need, you already have. That stayed with me over the years. And I know you've already filled the pulpit multiple times. So the second thing he said the big thing, while the Bible portion of what you share is important, but he's like, the stories is really, that's the challenge. The challenge is coming up with the good stories. I think you should be fine with that. You're good with stories. The last tidbit is when I did this in the summer of 2001, My wife was pregnant. Now, I know your wife just had little baby Z, and so, you know, nothing, no bun in the oven that we know of at this time. So the fact of the matter is, on Sunday, July 22nd of 2001, my wife went into the hospital. She was going in, and I thought, but it was like after midnight, and I thought, oh, for sure, this is the second child. Everybody's told us this one will be much quicker. And so I should be good for church by 10 o'clock with the sermon I already had. Yeah, it didn't turn out that, but that was her most difficult labor. Went till like 3:30 in the afternoon. The only child that was born C-section. So if your wife is pregnant and somehow that her due date collides with your Sunday, make sure you get a backup preacher in place.
I'll ask, what's his name? Rudolph. What's the guy's name? Murdoch? Rudolph. The Steelers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mason Rudolph, the Steelers quarterback.
I knew it was one of the reindeer. I couldn't remember which one.
Okay. Comet or Blitzen or something. Anyhow, that's my advice for you as you headed. Congratulations, interim pastor. All right.
I appreciate it.
We'll have to show you greater respect here. So.
All right.
Looking
forward to that.
We'll talk to you next week. Our buddy Drew Fralick and the heels of the Lions. They didn't lose since the road to the Super Bowl sometime in the future, beginning with that tie. Well, of course, the Olympics were earlier in Japan in 2021. This is actually Dateline, Pineville, Louisiana. A 105-year-old woman, 105, is now the record holder for the fastest time in the 100-meter dash in the 105 and up age bracket.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to even live to 105, probably, much less be putting on my gym shorts and doing anything competitive.
So how fast does somebody 105 or older run the 100 meters? Julia, I love it. She's got a nickname. Hurricane Hawkins clocked in at 1 minute and 2 seconds to break the record in the 100-meter dash for 105-year-olds.
But she's not done.
No.
She is not.
Uh-uh. She said, well, it was nice to see so many family members and friends. She wanted to finish the race in less than a minute.
That's the way it is with elite runners, right? You're always looking to shave more time off.
So she's probably gone, yeah, man, I want that 2 seconds. I got to get it down to 59. Broke the record at this year's Louisiana Senior Games, the state qualifying competition for the biennial National Senior Games. Hurricane started running competitively when she was 100.
Wow. You're never too old
I know.
To dream another dream or take up a new hobby. Wow, Julia Hurricane Hawkins.
I am fascinated with stories that have to do with longevity, like people, and then not only like living, like who's the oldest person in the world, I'm just fascinated, but accomplishing. She starts running at 100 competitively, and now she's a record holder.
You know what? Congratulations, Julia, and we're looking forward to watching you at, again, those National Senior Games on ESPN 13 or wherever they
air. ESPN Geriatric.
So, looking forward to that.
All right, the Wib Wake Up Show. Before I get to things you didn't know yesterday, there's something, Caleb, you didn't want to know.
Yes, so I was at Northern Lakes Church for the Josh Wilson concert. Again, fantastic. But there was a Green Bay Packers game going on at the same time. And I do believe that I had my priorities in order as much as I love the green and gold. More important to be with God's people and enjoying a great concert like that. But there's something called technology where I actually could have the Packers game recording so I wouldn't completely miss it. But the whole point is, if you're going to record a three-hour football game, you don't want to know what happens before you go home and watch it. And so I was trying to see, is it possible in the state of Wisconsin to have no idea what happened in the Packers game and then go back and watch it at 8 o'clock at night, having no clue if they won or lost or what the score was?
So you had to know Halvo's a potential problem. Because I'm a big Packer fan.
I think that was the first thing I said to you as I greeted you when you came in.
Yeah, you just let me know. You were behind the table with Michelle, and you were just like, yes, you communicated the message. I don't want to know the Packers. Which, actually, Peggy and I listened only minimally on the drive up, and we got there a little before 4. So, through three quarters of watching it after you made it home, not a lot of action.
There wasn't a lot going on. When I went back to pick up Lindsay and the kids from my parents' house, I called ahead to say, don't let anybody tell me.
Right. So you're able to pull it off. Good job.
Yeah. Then very much enjoyed it yesterday. I think Cooper actually knew something about the game. I'm going to have to ask him. He wasn't awake when I left. But I think he knew something, and it was Mumps the Word. I was very proud of him. So.
Way to go. Keeping a secret is hard. All right, things you didn't know yesterday besides the Packer results as it came out. First of all, they were sold before they were sold nationally. Pop-Tarts were tested in Cleveland in 1963.
Cleveland, of all things. Things you didn't know yesterday here in the Wib Wake Up Show. It is impossible to hum while holding your nose.
And of course, whenever
I have
you hear
cold,
that,
so I'm not going
to
try that.
You try to think, okay, holding your nose.
I don't know.
It accumulates air in the mouth is what it just did. I tried it. Yeah, like they say, it's impossible. I'm going to add, this is a bonus. You can't keep your eyes open when you sneeze. So there
okay,
you go.
Okay, there you go.
All right, here's something else you may not know, that your stomach acid is strong enough to dissolve metal. That's how strong it is.
Don't let your toddler, though, eat iron shavings. Things you didn't know yesterday, golf is the only sport to have been played on the moon.
Hmm, how about that?
So far.
Wow.
So far.
Hey, something else you didn't know yesterday. Lobsters used to be so cheap that they were frequently used to feed prisoners.
Really?
Not anymore. No more surf and turf for those inmates. Huh?
Speaking of prisoners, cheese is the most shoplifted food in the world.
Wow.
Cheese.
In Wisconsin or where?
In the world, I guess. Wow. Unless we just have lots of cheese thieves here and that sets the standard for the world. Don't do that.
And
not honest.
Finally, this morning on the Wib Wake Up Show, you can't visit the world's biggest waterfall because it's actually deep underwater in the ocean between Iceland and Greenland.
Who knew? You do now. Things you didn't know yesterday here in the Wib Wake Up Show.